Yeah, so the next film, Laura, it's still not too late for you to change your mind, but we did all go
Yeah, let's do the hat. I want a big twister.
hell. So we all watched The Swimmer, 1968.
Yes.
When did you come across this, Laura?
It was on Channel 4 one day, just on live TV, and I thought, I'll shove this on just for a bit of background noise. And it was at the scene where him and Julie are at the pool party. And you come into it, you think, well, this is a normal film. I'm a little bored. I don't really know what's going on. Oh, we set a bit of tension with some guy. And then suddenly they're in slow motion jumping around a horse paddock. And I was like, what is this? Oh my God, this is brilliant.
This is going to be really fun.
I was enraptured from that. I thought, well, what a weird film. I thought this was just a normal, boring suburban 60s film, but how wrong I was. It's clearly some kind of surrealist masterpiece. So I just hooked in from that point, and then when I finished it, I went back and watched it from the start, and then I rewatched it for this. And I've just been thinking about it ever since. It started off on an absolute obsession with Burt Lancaster, who I'd never seen in anything
Oh,
before.
that's what started your Burt Lancaster thing. Right. I see this was the reason you'd watched it is because of the Burt Lancaster thing, but no,
No,
it's the other way
never,
around.
never come across him.
Oh, the tail wagging the dog. Excellent.
I think we're all dying to know what your dad thought.
He liked it.
He?
Yeah,
Oh.
we chatted for a while afterwards. I mean, he only moved up recently, and so far we've had him round for two film nights, and we've watched The Pianist and The Swimmer. And after The Pianist, he said, like, oh, maybe something a bit lighter next time. And I think we found something lighter, but I'm not sure we found something lighter.
So does it just have to be nouns? Is that all he's allowed to watch when he comes here? Is it like things that people do?
Herbs. You liked it, Fernando.
I liked it. I liked it, yes.
Okay, we'll dig into more of that in a second. You guys?
I think I liked it. It was
Okay.
bizarre, but
Sure.
it hooked me.
Good.
I definitely liked it. I thought it was great.
Oh, good. I thought you'd be the worst one, Michael. I thought Michael's going to come
Okay.
in here and be like, where did he come from? Why was he doing all those shots where the camera was blurring and whatnot and whatnot? And I was coming
I
in with
am going
this
to say
great
both of those
explanation
things.
of, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say both of those things, but I'm interested to know because the film was so great and I had a lot of thoughts about what was going on and I've got three different
Oh,
explanations and
fantastic.
I've got loads of notes.
Me too.
A lot of the notes are just in my head because it's a bit weird. It's a bit
There's
weird
not really
inviting your
notes in
dad
it,
round and
really.
taking notes.
I've got lots of notes, thoughts, otherwise known as.
I've got nine notes in front of me written down.
Okay, excellent.
Wait, do you normally take notes as you're watching the film?
Yeah,
Normally.
normally. Well, yeah, it depends on the film. I don't think we took notes in Mulan.
I think I did take notes of Mulan. I love it, by the way, if that wasn't clear. I think I said that at
Okay, great. Yeah, this was a great film.
the
So much going on. So, Burt Lancaster, what was his name?
Ned. How could you forget?
Ned.
Every time he showed up anywhere, the women were like,
Oh,
Neddy! I haven't seen you in an age!
Ned. Decreasing amount of time as the film goes on.
Why are you touching my bum?
I love the way he greeted all the women by just being extremely handsy with them.
Yeah,
Oh.
but even that was just told us so much, and they did so much with it. There was so much going on in this film. Just like you, again, not we didn't really look into this. We just put it on from the start. I thought it was going to be a sort of silly comedy about a guy like going through all the different pools, and he was going to meet interesting people along the way, and
Okay.
they're all going to have something satirical to say about American life, but then it turned into that.
Can we just address the fact that he wasn't actually swimming across the county and that was a ridiculous premise? What is it? They set it up as if it was this like profound thing. Like, oh yeah, the Now all the swimming pools are connected.
Yeah.
The Lucinda River.
I'm going to do a length and then carry on running.
All right. Okay. Got that off my chest.
Where's your sense of adventure?
Yeah. It was something like drinking your way down a high street, right? Where you just stop in all the pubs.
Yeah, but he could have done this. Like, you don't wait for every shop to be a pub before you do that.
Yes.
He was like, oh, now that that house has a pool, I could definitely do this.
I feel like if every house did turn into a pub, it would feel like a more tantalizing thing to do. You'd want to do it more if it was all of them. And I think he at least went from one person's property to the next person's property in a sort of unbroken chain. Although then there was the public pool, which didn't really fit into that.
No.
So yeah, it was a little daft, wasn't it? I always got pissed off about this with people who will claim they like cycled around the world. There's like a Guinness World Record for how quickly you can cycle around the world. But no, it'll be, even if they do, it's impressive, right? They'll cycle like from Paris all the way down to like the south tip of Africa, but then they'll get a ship to the next place. And the ship will happen to take them somewhere that's like halfway up South America. And then they'll cycle up until like somewhere in Colombia, and then they'll get a plane to Florida. And what they're doing is cycling a lot of interesting places in the world, but there's no sense in which they're going around the world.
Maybe they're cycling on the deck. Maybe they've got a little foot pedal thing on the plane.
Yeah, what if they are making the ferry go?
If that's true, then yeah, that would do it.
They're powering the ferry.
Otherwise, yes, it's a very misleading thing they're claiming. And they should be content just to do something reasonably cool.
I don't think that was the thing he was most delusional about.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Wait, there were more delusions? I thought the rest was all
straightforward
and simple narrative.
Oh dear.
Narrative. Right, okay.
How do we tackle this?
It's a tricky one.
Well, you said you had three theories. Shall we?
Yeah, take
I've got
us through.
Three theories. So that three theories to answer the question, what was actually happening here? Because it was all very dreamy and all a bit weird, and none of it quite seemed to make sense.
Mm.
So I've got three interpretations as to what actually happened.
Can we set out just a brief description of what the film is?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Just very briefly. He's swimming across the county. Each pool he comes to, we get a little bit more about his life that indicates that things... He's still happy-go-lucky in the beginning of just being this charming, seemingly affluent person. And then just these hints are being dropped that people keep being like, where have you been? And it becomes clear that he's not been around for 2 years.
Hmm.
And that other things are weird. People are surprised when he talks about his wife and children and things like that. So yes, it's an unfolding kind of situation. So go ahead with your theories.
Yeah. So yeah, it's unfolding and things are off. And
yes.
He's making reference to people like his wife and his children who everyone else seems to know something about them. And that thing becomes clearer and clearer as we get towards the end, that what he's saying doesn't quite make sense, and he's not in the position he thinks he's in.
Mm-hmm.
One option is this all really happened, that this is actually he did turn up at someone's house in swimming trunks and greeted them, and they all talked to him and had these conversations, and it ended with him arriving at his house, which is really there and has really been like rusted up because no one's been there in years. This would have to be he's been in an institution or he's got amnesia or something like that. That in this one, the question of where did he come from, how did he turn up at the first house is an odd one. It feels like, yeah, it must be something like he's been in an asylum or something and he's either escaped or been released. And yeah, he's encountering these people that he used to know. The second option for me.
Wait, before we move on, if he's just come out of an asylum, how was he in such a good shape?
Burt Lancaster is not like the rest of us.
Okay, that makes sense.
He cycled around the world while he was in there.
Yeah, it's a good question. He worked out when he was in there. Maybe there was a pool there, and that was where he became obsessed with swimming. It was weird that he was obsessed with swimming, right?
Yes.
No. I feel like swimming.
They dropped in. Yeah, we all like swimming, Michael.
I like swimming.
They dropped in a few like lines that sort of hinted towards some relationship with swimming. Because he was like, remember when we were children and we used to swim in that river just up and down? What a glorious time that was.
Yeah, so maybe that was why he was fixated on swimming. This reversion to his childhood. So that would be somehow more relevant. Yeah, that would make more sense if this didn't really happen. This wasn't really presenting a real thing that happened. Right. And that takes us to theories 2 and 3. Theory 2, does anyone want to interject anything else?
No, please.
We can come back to
it. I've got my
this.
Own theory about theory 1, okay. Which is the same theory, but I would just add to it. But let's do theory 2 and 3 first, and then we'll come back.
Okay, theory 2 is he's dying.
Oh, okay.
Dying of one thing or another, and basically this is him dreaming. Something like his life is flashing before his eyes. As he's about to die. This makes some sense, and I think that this is probably my favorite of the three theories. As he goes and meets all these people in their houses, they are people from later and later in his life.
Hey, that was my
born out-
theory.
We talked about this briefly.
Still my theory.
And so normally Claire and I like literally don't say a word about the film to each other, but because there was a third
person, see why.
We didn't think we could really be like, okay, you need to go now. We're not talking to you about this film. We'll talk to you when we've had the podcast discussion. So the different people he meets, as Claire quite rightly says, were from later and later in his life. In the first house, they're his childhood friends.
Yeah.
Later on, they're like people he knew from college. And we get later and later, and we see like someone he was recently having an affair with.
Yep.
Then we see like the guy who wants him to pay his bill from recently.
Yeah.
And you even hear a few numbers. I haven't seen you in 2 years. I haven't seen you in 3 years. And
yeah.
Oh, do you remember that time 20 years ago? So it seems to me that he was going through his life from start to finish. And that seems consistent with his life flashing before his eyes as he dies. Furthermore, this thing where his body is giving up in this dream. He's in great shape to start with. He's splashing around like mad. Leaping into the water, he's
not
doing length after
well.
Length. Not, I love his dive.
His belly flop.
He belly flops the water. But even the belly flopping the water works really well because that's how someone swims who just isn't that bothered about technique and stuff. They just love swimming. It's playing in the water. And there was so much joy in that. But that goes away later on. Some of the later houses, he sort of crawls in or practically falls in or he's losing his strength. He says that even in the sun he feels cold. Why does the sun have no warmth? And by the end he's crawling along, he can barely move. That's him dying and just seeing all of these people he knew and all of these regrets he has, and his way of going through those regrets is talking to those people again in this sort of narrative he's constructed of the river of his life, and sort of trying to make his peace with them, but just feeling guilty about them and being terribly unhappy about what's happened. This is related to theory 3, which is a little different. This is purgatory.
Right. And is this your own work, Michael?
I believe this is my own work, yes. All three theories are my own work, but the second one Claire helped by pointing out that it went through.
I think metaphor for his life was the phrase I used.
Okay, which I think works for 2 or 3.
Okay.
Although maybe that's a fourth one. It's just that this isn't a particularly a thing that happened. It's just they're telling us the story of his life in an interesting and unusual way, which I guess would be a theory. But yeah, I'm thinking I don't know much about the teachings of the Catholic Church, but I think if you're in purgatory, this is a place where you go if you can't get into heaven because you still have sins that you haven't atoned for or repented. And it's a place where you think about your life and you're in this sort of temporary place where you need to discover something about yourself, or you need to purge your soul before you can go on to heaven and have eternal life. And that seemed to me about right. Again, it was this very dreamy, odd place where things aren't quite how they should be, where he's thinking about all the things he's guilty about and thinking about what he should have done differently. Those are my three theories, such as they are.
Dante's Purgatory is a mountain, isn't it? You'd get colder as you went up Mount Purgatory, you'd expect.
Right.
I see.
Could you develop that?
That would never have occurred to me in a million years. God, I'm so literal. That's brilliant.
What, any of these things?
Well, two and three. The fact that what we're seeing might not, but that it might all be allegorical.
Oh, really?
But I think you're forgetting one key point, Monsieur Poirot.
Monsieur?
It's that even films that aren't completely allegorical can still make artistic choices.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we could still have some blurry leaf shots. We could still watch the forest from above as we listen to his conversation with a young woman that he's known from the past. He can still progress in a reverse chronological order throughout his... it would be chronological. Yes, it is chronological.
Yeah.
As just a sort of filmic narrative arc.
Yeah, you know? So stylistic.
Yes. But I do like... I think you might have something there, but maybe he is dead or in purgatory or dying or something. Very interesting.
One of the things I wasn't sure about, because, I did that... did kind of occur to me that, like, just because it's a bit weird doesn't mean it's not really happening. It was the way everything was so perfect somehow. Like, every house he went to, the people happened to be in their garden at the time.
Mm.
And most of them happened to be having a party. And only the people who were relevant seemed to be there. Well, that's not true in some of the later ones, but it every single place he went seemed perfectly set up, and that was interesting.
Yeah,
but yeah, maybe that's just part of an interesting story. So yes, you've undone me for once. Hercule Poirot has been bested.
What was your addendum to theory one, Laura?
Oh, I suppose I didn't really have an addendum. I just wondered how clear it became of what happened, putting the jigsaw puzzle together.
Mm. In a way, by the end of it, I didn't care which of the three theories was right, because it successfully told us, or reasonably well, told us the story of his life.
Yeah.
And that's the important bit. They communicated all that we needed to know. So I find it interesting to know what we were actually looking at, but... the real story is the story we pieced together.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened to Lucinda?
Which one was Lucinda? Well,
that's his wife that he keeps referring to. We never meet her.
River Lucinda.
Lucinda River. I took it that she had left him and taken his daughters.
Yeah.
And they haven't seen each other for years.
Hmm.
Yes. It's funny because I think it's there from the beginning. Like, there's a small sense of dread. You might not like, just there's glances between the other actors when he mentions Lucinda, or and that he pauses right before he answers about his daughters. Someone's like, "How's your daughters?" And he just pauses briefly, and he's like, "They're, you know," I can't remember what he says at that point, but
he's just say they're back at the house playing tennis.
Yeah, he's just sort of keeping saying that, and then becoming stubborn about it. And they find something odd about him swimming home when they keep in the first house. They're like, why would he want to do that? But it's, you know, that might just be a natural thing to say about someone's mad idea, or it could be the fact that they know that he doesn't live there anymore.
Mm.
So they're glancing at each other.
That's great that it would work for either of those, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
On the first viewing, you watch it and they're just glancing because swimming home's a crazy idea. What an adventure this is going to be. And then looking later, they know something he doesn't.
Yes, exactly. And in every house, there's something like that. And even in the second house, the woman that he meets, she's just sort of rambling to herself because she can tell that Ned's not really listening, where she's like, I've got everything I ever wanted. It's funny how things turn out, isn't it? Sort of implying that things have gone wrong for him. But again, it's so subtle that we don't really... And then the guy coming along and talking about the resale value of his house.
Just... I love that. Yeah, I thought there was going to be a lot more of that, just sort of parody of idiotic suburbanites.
Yes.
But it turned out to be a much more personal story that I wasn't expecting.
The guy telling us that he's lost his house, he's selling his house, he doesn't live there anymore. Because he's selling it. Like, he's talking about, well, you must, let me get this.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's telling him, talking to him about selling the house, and he's saying, I'm never going to sell the house.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
How many houses do we think he visited?
I kept track of them.
Ah.
Excellent. How many were there?
Well, 8 and then the public pool.
And then his house.
And then his house, sorry.
As many as that, okay.
Because,
yeah, you wouldn't think.
So on Mount Purgatory in Dante's Purgatorio, so there are two...
Oh God, are there 9 levels?
There are 9 levels before you get to Earthly Paradise.
Really?
Wow.
Oh my God, you've done it.
So there's anti-purgatory. There are
three. Wait, I wasted my slow clap.
I was sure there were... So these are... So each is split or is characterised by the type of sinner who's on the in that terrace. So he first comes into anti-purgatory, which I think has Cato as his guide. I've just got the Wikipedia page here. So that's called the excommunicate, I suppose could be people he's lost communication with or something. Then we have the late repentant, then the proud, the envious, the wrathful, the sloth, the covetous, the gluttonous, and the lustful.
Interesting.
Okay.
Now, the lustful could definitely be the person he had an affair with. Was that the last one?
He went to the public pool after that.
Ah, he did.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, that would have been the 9th one.
Oh, well.
I mean, they don't have to match up exactly one for one, do they? The fact that he's gone through 9.
I reckon that was
on conscious. His journey to heaven, he's gone through 9 levels of what I already said was purgatory. That's good enough for me. Doesn't have to match word for word.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget the details of each because it's been years since I read it.
I don't know if there was one that was gluttony and...
Well, there was like the big party where they were eating all the caviar, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the main thing we were drawn to was the hot dog cart.
Mm-hmm. I liked it when he tried to take back his hot dog cart. There was the slothful at the start. The guy's like, "Nah, I'm too old to get in the pool. I don't want to swim."
Yes, I had too much to drink last night. Oh, maybe there's some matching up.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was only one that was really lustful, which was his woman he had the affair with.
Mistress.
I mean, he was pretty lustful over Julie, the young woman who used to be the babysitter.
Mm. Yeah, but it wasn't. He somehow wasn't openly lustful. It was.
I see what you mean.
Mm.
Like, he wasn't trying. He was being lecherous and creepy, but he never made a move. Like, he was.
Just yeah, exactly.
He was grabby. Your Honor.
I mean, if we're allowed to. If being grabby is enough, that was about 6 of them. So, what was the one where he just... the introduction to the scene was him slapping the woman's bum before she knew he was there.
And this was the start of your obsession with Burt Lancaster.
It really was. Yeah. Yeah. Never looked back. I can see why everyone's obsessed with him.
I don't think everyone is obsessed with him.
I mean, most of the women he meets are like, Nelly, oh my God, where have you been?
Oh, I see. I thought you meant everyone you know.
Oh, I see.
Is obsessed with Burt Lancaster.
No, I meant in the film. I know very few people who are obsessed with Burt Lancaster.
Yeah, go. <cool. laughs> I've seen him in nothing except Judgment at Nuremberg, which you recommended to me after you started this whole thing. Oh God,
he's good though, isn't he?
He was great in that.
And in this.
And in this, yeah. Mm. Maybe I'll watch a few more. Is watching all of the Burt Lancaster films your version of purgatory, where you're figuring out all the things that are wrong with your life?
I'll have to think about it quite a lot harder, I think.
And then you're going to have to see like his upcoming film at the cinema, and then you're going to get to the cinema and realise he died 20 years ago.
What?
And just bang on the door of the cinema screaming, let me in, I want to see the new Burt Lancaster film. While it plummets down with rain.
I'd like to, Fernando, why did you like it? What did it have going for you?
Why did I like it? Well, because I did not understand it. And sometimes people say that we only like what we can understand, or we hate what we do not understand. But I did not understand it, and I liked it. And then it became apparent that it was trying to tell a story. And then that story became a little bit darker. And I was intrigued. I was glad that someone pointed out that's more hiking than swimming, because that was actually true. The film itself, so the film was aware that he was not actually a swimmer.
Yeah.
There were some other scenes that I liked, for example, the one that when he's running alongside the horse, I was like, is he running barefoot? And he was. And that's so painful. That hurt so much. I don't know. I thought it was an excellent film. I'm really glad that you made me watch it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's great.
Yes, I really liked when he was running alongside the horse. It was just on the back of him being shouted at by that woman for whose son had died, and he hadn't been to see the son or called or anything.
Would you describe her as wrathful?
Ooh, perhaps? Yes, I would. God, it all fits, doesn't it? It all fits. But yeah, then he runs alongside that horse, and he's refreshed. He's back on the...
Back on the horse.
Cheered him right up.
He loved running next to the horse, didn't he?
Yeah. Then he could go back to being a ledge.
Yep.
Did anyone else get Woman Chaser vibes in the weird equestrian cut scene?
Oh, I hadn't remembered that, but
it just reminded me of the ballet scene.
Yes.
Oh, do not need to see your pecs bouncing in slow motion.
That was my favourite scene. As I said, that was what hooked me into the film when I first watched it. I love that scene. I don't understand it. I don't know what it's trying to do, but it's just bizarre. Yeah, I also, when I first watched this, I assumed that the young blonde woman, Julie, was going to be with him for the whole film. It was a real surprise when...
Me too.
And again, came into this thinking he was like just a really charismatic, great guy. And then he's being such a creep that it's... Yeah, you're like, oh, this is... What a complex man. He's just going to keep saying madder and madder shit as he goes on. He starts by having fairly normal conversations with people, and then he just starts. And then it just... his dialogue... just becomes madder and madder.
Yeah. It
my favorite, can I tell you my favorite line? Sorry, I can't.
Please.
I'm a very special human being, noble and splendid.
Yes, when did he say that?
He's just chatting to that woman at the big pool party, and she's like, oh, you're like every other guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm a very special human being. Noble, splendid.
That's the last message you send before you get ghosted, right?
I also enjoyed, on a 10-point scale, how would you rate him in bed? Just nuts.
Yeah, he was getting more and more unhinged as he went through, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I guess that was something it was telling us. Yeah, he was with who was the young woman who joined him for a couple of pools?
Julie. Yeah.
Julie was happy enough with him while he was sort of young and optimistic and all right. But as he got closer to what I'm saying is like his death or the bad stuff happening, he lost her because he got too weird, and that we saw exactly that play out. But that felt like, you know, he was with her for a little while in his life and lost her.
Yeah,
it was a weird one.
Interesting.
I also thought all the way through, he was either looking for a lover or he was looking for a daughter. And it felt like with Julie, he hadn't quite made up his mind. Because he was so transparent when he saw her. He was like, oh, let me get a look at you. Just looked at her boobs and then looked back up. And all of these things. Oh, you've grown up so much. Oh, like, obviously so much romantic interest in her.
Yeah.
And again, it was another reason I was thinking it was like a dream of his, that she was then walking along talking to him about how much of a crush she had on him and all of that. It seemed like just a fantasy of his. But at the same time, it seemed like he wanted to protect her, like he wanted to protect his daughters that he was estranged from. He wanted her to be his daughter. And so when she was telling him about her boyfriend that she's got, he took really against him, and he was offering to like drive her to New York every day and drive her back and meet her for lunch like an overprotective parent.
I think it might be that he fancied her and wanted to be her boyfriend.
Okay.
I think that he wanted to feel like a man again. Like, it was very little to do with her at all, and more about he was trying to assert to himself that he was still important, that he still had the status that he could protect someone who was vulnerable.
I see. Yeah.
I think and also all of those mixed in, which is that he does fancy her, but also she's reminds him of his daughter, who has got this weird, like,
amnesiacal.
Yes, thank you. That's the one. Sure. He's got this amnesiacal sort of relationship with his daughters.
Yeah.
Who, as we find out later, are just wayward, have been drunk driving, and he bailed them out. But they think he's a joke and just laugh at him and stuff. So
he seems to think that he's failed with them, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Even though he tells everyone that they worship him and they're great girls and all of that.
Yeah.
It seemed like a lot of his interactions were based on that. The other one that made me think of this was the little boy who sold him the lemonade. Which was a nice nod, because I think, Claire, you also pointed out this. He has a drink in every house, doesn't he?
Oh.
Apart from the women at the show or something.
Yes, he doesn't get it. Oh, well. Still, he has the lemonade. But, yeah, he is so protective of that boy and is so... It really sort of wants to father him. And that seemed, again, like a trying to make up for this failure with his own daughters, even to the point that he runs back terrified that the boy's going to jump into the pool off the springboard at the end, only for the boy to say, no, of course I wasn't. There was no water in it. But he's just highly strung and protective because he's got that father thing.
What were your favourite scenes?
Not the show jumping.
Crazy, that's mad. That's the best scene in the film.
No, the impressionistic wordless scenes didn't do all that much for me. I found the conversations more interesting. It's probably one of the last few houses, either the one with his lover or the one at the public pool. I think because at that point they were giving us a lot more of what actually happened.
Yeah.
There'd been a lot of build up, and I was ready for this to be a slightly shit film where they just throw a load of stuff at the wall and then don't tell you what it meant. Whereas in this, they really, it all did make something, and they did actually tie up these loose ends of why are people,
yeah,
acting so funny with him, and that, yeah. So I like those where you're actually getting what had happened.
I liked all the scenes where he didn't die very well. He just sort of belly flopped. Every one of those was great.
The belly flopping was fantastic.
Fernando, did you have a favourite?
I think, like Michael, I think I might have liked when he is at the House of the Lover with the last year's swimsuit.
What was the cocktail they were drinking? We've never had that one, Michael.
I meant to look this up. It wasn't called a bullseye. It was something like a pit bull or a...
Yeah.
Oh, I need to look it up.
Bullshot. Bullshot, that was it.
Shall I look it up?
Oh!
What?
That bad?
Oh, I don't even think I can read it out.
Oh my god. What is it?
What is it? It is vodka with beef bouillon, lemon juice, and Worcester sauce.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah, they were talking about Tabasco, weren't they? Wow. A nice cold beef drink.
You've got to find some substitute. You've got to make this.
We've got it. We've got like vegan beef stock.
Great.
I'm doing that. How
a vodka and gravy, please.
How bad could it be? How good could it be?
It's gone.
Oh. I like a Bloody Mary, which is just the same thing, but with tomato juice instead of beef. Oh my god! Bull shot. Yeah, it's a shot of bull.
What is
that saying? They could have picked any cocktail. They picked a bull shot.
That's weird. Maybe they just found the weirdest cocktail they could because they were like, this is a weird film.
Yeah, okay. Maybe this is what they were drinking before they wrote it.
It's all bullshit.
Or he's the bull.
The old bull.
The old bull.
George, and she's a bull too. Another old bull. Two old bulls. We're 2 minutes to the end. We're 1 minute to the end.
Yeah. Well,
we should wrap this baby up.
Basically, this was an amazing film.
Great. Oh, I'm so pleased.
In fact, two amazing films. Yeah. Great, great call. Was anyone unhappy with with this one? Was anything like, I wish they hadn't done this, or it wasn't good enough for this reason?
I thought some of the cutting, like the editing, was poor.
Yeah.
And I found that disconcerting.
There was one massively jarring one that just came to nothing. I thought it was making a big point. It was when he was talking to the woman he was having the affair with, and then the camera angle just changed and the lighting was totally different. And her hair was different. And we looked at each other, we were like, what? And then they were just carrying on in the same cup, like halfway through a sentence. Yeah. I've heard people say that cigarettes are an absolute bastard for continuity.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good job she lit one and then immediately put it back out again.
I didn't notice that.
It was just after the ridiculous cut scene. Our ridiculous cut. We just talked about.
That's great.
Wouldn't change a thing. Perfect film.
Perfect film. Excellent.
5 out of 7. Perfect film.
Would you really give this like a 5 stars out of 5?
Yeah, I already have. Check my letterbox.
Right, I'm going to have to.
Did you see the end coming? Just out of interest.
Yeah. By the time we got there, I think it was clear what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Or at least that was the obvious end, that he was going to turn up and it was abandoned.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How about you?
Something like that. I'm not sure I saw the full drama. I didn't visualize like the pouring rain and him just staggering and limping and then beating the doors and weeping, and that came as a surprise.
Yeah, I guess that detail wasn't obvious.
Yeah, I thought perhaps it was going to be his wife and daughters were there with the new husband.
Oh.
Interesting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she'd got to keep the house, and he, as part of his mental break that I thought he'd had, had forgotten that.
That would have been cool.
I was imagining something that would make it a bit clearer what was going on, like he'd get there and it's just a blinding white light, or he gets there and like it's a river or something like that, and he swims up the river into the sky, or just swims.
And he gets into the car with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, and
lava, 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 chidigadidum, the forever.
Is he crossing the river Styx then? Is that what you reckon?
Oh my god, she's got it. Now, I honestly believe that they based this on Dante's Purgatorio.
I think that was a strong motif.
I think there's enough there. Not that it's like a word for word like translation of Dante's Purgatorio, but that they meant for it to be, they picked it to be nine deliberately, to be the nine levels, and that he's in purgatory. That's what I'm coming down on there.
That makes sense to me. I think that was definitely a motif.
Stop saying motif.
It was a real motif.
This was an absolute pastiche all the way through.
Featured some lovely chiaroscuro.
Particularly enjoyed the vignette.
Yeah, that was great. Chiaroscuro, I still think of that. Any last thoughts, Fernando?
I'm going to watch it again because it was a great film, and I feel like I can understand it a little bit better, so I will watch it again.
I'm going to watch this again because, there was something there.
I got a lot out of the rewatches, just to say that. So. I just think you pick up on the, you know. Anyway.
I'll talk to you again.
Burt Lancaster said it was the best film he's ever made.
Nice.
Or his favourite film. I forget which one.
That's my second favourite of the two films he's made so far. So.
Yeah, Judgment at Nuremberg is a fantastic film.
That was a great recommendation. Thank you for that.
Well, yes. Well, I prefer this, though. I really love this film. I really love Burt Lancaster.
Yeah. Thank you. Excellent.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Thanks for the double bill. We shouldn't
double bill.
It's nice that it worked up. It worked out like that. I'm glad.
Nicely paired films, in a way. You know, if you're going to pair somebody with The Pianist,
curiously,
you can't have something equally depressing, but you can't have something too light either.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm glad we didn't like watch Zoolander after it.
What if for our next meeting we watch four films and discuss them?
I've been saying this for years. We should have a monster
films
weekend
the next time. In a few years' time, when my life circumstances are
mega
a little
weekend
different, I'd love to do that.
Four films, 4 hours. All the Twister films.
That would be great. Yeah,
I can't recommend Twister enough.
When Heather's left home, we'll do that.
Well, a couple of years, she'd be ready to watch the Twister films, I think.
I wish she can join. I didn't think of that.
She might not be allowed to watch television yet.
Yes. When she's old enough and responsible enough to watch television, she'll be... She won't be stupid enough to want to watch the Twister film.
How dare you? It was written by Michael Crichton.
Oh, well.
Executively produced by Steven Spielberg.
Oh, executively produced. Well, then. That says it all.
You can tell. If it's me next, I'm picking Twister. I'm just telling you now.
Okay, it's definitely not you next. Oh, no, we're all
it
back in, actually,
any of
aren't
us.
We? It could be. Oh, great. Sorry, do you want to... What do you want to do? Do you want to end the meeting?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Thanks, both. Great films.
Lovely.